Now what? And God divinely intervened, and history tells us, settled a dense fog on those banks and on that river. Just like the pillar of cloud that God used to separate the Israelites from the Egyptians. And settled it on that river. They said the fog was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And all that morning they began to continue to ferry those soldiers across that river. So that by midday, when they were all across, the fog lifted just as miraculously as it came, causing Admiral Howe in his ships to behold an empty shore. And his words were this: we cannot fight. We cannot win this war. God is on their side. And it was a turning point of the war. God's hand of blessing on the United States was obvious to other people as well. The French historian Alex de Tocqueville, you may have heard the story, came to America following the winning of the war to come and find out why the war for independence in this nation was so stellar, successful, and why the French Revolution had been going on at the same time was an abysmal failure. De Tocqueville's words were essentially this. He said, I went to America to discover this greatness and the genius of the American success. I crossed the country. I went into the fertile farmlands and the rivers, and I saw these great blessings, but it wasn't there. I saw the rich mines and the ore that was there, but it wasn't there. I went into the institutions of higher learning and looked, but it wasn't there. The halls of Congress. Even the unbelievable Constitution of the United States, but it wasn't there. He said, it wasn't until I went into the churches of America and heard the pulpits flame with the preaching of righteousness did I understand the secret of the greatness of America. And then this phrase you probably have heard: America is great because America is good or righteous. If America ever ceases to be righteous, America will cease to be great. Well, de Tocqueville saw what John Winthrop and the preachers from the Great Awakening knew, that if this nation lived obediently to God's commands, it would be blessed. But if they forsake and walked away, it would all be lost. Now let's turn again to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would. We'll read the conclusion of the passage there that we started. Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 to 20. I'm just going to take some portions of those verses. We're told there, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and have built goodly houses and dwell safely therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth. And to verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Let me repeat that last thought. As the nations before you, so shall ye perish. I think there's no more solemn words could be heard by an individual or a nation than that which came here from the mouth of God himself. God knew well that the nature of man was, in times of distress, to call out to him. But in times of bounty and prosperity, to think that they had gotten themselves and to worship that which was than that which provided it. Our sinful tendency as human people is to depend upon ourselves and to believe that we are successful through our own abilities. God knew that any people not daily consecrating their lives to Him would forget Him and who it was that had given them all that they had. If God, the righteous judge, cannot overlook sin and rejection of Him by any nation, not even by His own chosen people, can He overlook ours? God reminded them of His holy jealousy when He warned them that they would perish if they forgot Him and forsook Him. And He warns us today too. Our founders believed that God, when He said He would bless those who obey Him and destroy those who don't, they believed that God's promises to Israel belonged to them, not as a people chosen of God as Israel was, but as a people whom God blessed because they chose Him as their God. You see, these early folks entered into a voluntary covenant with God, claiming the promises of God, and God responded. Their hope and their security was as bright and as sure as God Himself. Because our founders' dedication to God and His blessings on their obedience, our nation did become that shining city on a hill. But what about now? Are we still a shining example to the rest of the world? Is there even a flicker of light still emanating from this land? What can we, as God's people, do to once again let our light so shine before men? Solution, I think, is this. My friends, I think there are three things that we must do. First, we must admit that we have greatly sinned against God who lifted up this nation and mightily blessed it. We must admit that as individuals, we have often been idolatrous. And as Winthrop feared, worshipped and served the gods of pleasure and entertainment and financial profit. We've worshipped our houses, our money, our entertainment. We've lived lives not much different than the world around us. But our omniscient and omnipresent God has seen it all. The book of Deuteronomy is replete with the warning, "Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God." Yet as a nation, we've done just that. We've thrown Him out of our courtrooms. We've ejected Him from our classrooms. When He's tried to get our attention in times of crisis like 9/11, we remember Him, but for about 2 weeks. But have you noticed as God has sought to get our attention during more recent hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and fires, that there's hardly been a mention of people crying out to God for help? Folks, I believe that we are in serious trouble in this land. We're not waiting to be judged of God. We are being judged of God. Because in practical terms, we as a nation have said, God, we don't really need You. We've stolen from our children and our grandchildren to spend it upon ourselves. That's our debt. We've made a mockery of God's laws and tempted Him by declaring to be good what God has declared to be an abomination. Think of the same-sex marriage law that has now passed in 6 states, most recently signed in the state of New York. Think of the murder of over 60 million little babies, an entire generation of Americans. Is this not worthy of judgment? Secondly, we must fall on our faces in humility and repentance. We must cry out before God in anguish and sorrow for what we have done as individuals and as a nation. Remember, God judges individuals in the hereafter. We'll all stand before God one day here individually, but God judges and must judge nations in the here and now. If God's judgment, His wrath, is to be deterred, It'll be done when we do what the pilgrims and the Puritans did in such times. When God withheld blessing, they would drop to their knees, and as stated in Deuteronomy 31:17, and would ask these words, "Are not these evils come upon us because God is no longer among us?" They would humble themselves and cry out in repentance. My friends, when are we going to understand that our lives and that of our nation is on the very edge? When will we ask ourselves, are not these evil come upon us because God is not moving among us? You've got to understand, as I'm sure you do, there is no answer from Washington. Don't look there for a solution to our problems. There is no political solution to our challenges of the day. There is no legal remedy from the highest courts in the land. Only a change of heart of God's people can turn the hand of God. Lastly, let's understand with confidence that when we trust the Lord and do righteously, we can be bold and victorious, not hopeless and defeated. I close with a piece of history from someone who is not an American, but a man of God. This person is a soldier's soldier, a man's man, yet a man of faith. He was a man who understood the power of God, much like Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. I know he was an inspiration to our fathers, our founders as well. And it's this. Several years, 100 years before the American dream was conceived, Alfred the Great fought for freedom and liberty in his little kingdom of Wessex. He had a war song that he took from Isaiah 59 and verse 19, with which he would regale his troops. History would tell us that he would gather his troops together and would go and look them all in the eye and would remind them of what God had done for them and for their nation. And then he would recall God's promises and the power of God and how that he would invigorate and hold up the hands of those who trusted in him. And he came up with an anthem, and I'm not going to sing it, but they sang it. It was this: when the enemy comes in, roaring like a flood, coveting the kingdom and hungering for blood, the Lord will raise a standard up and lead his people on. The Lord of hosts will go before, defeating every foe, defeating every foe. For the Lord is our defense. Jesu, defend us. For the Lord is our defense. Jesu, defend us. Some men trust in chariots. Some trust in the horse. But we will depend upon the name of Christ our Lord. The Lord has made my hands to war and taught my fingers to fight. The Lord lays low our enemies, but he raises us upright. He raises us upright. For the Lord is our defense. Jesu, defend us. For the Lord is our defense. Jesu, defend. 1,000 may fall on our left hand and 10,000 on our right, yet the Lord protects us from the terrors of the teeth of the devourer. The Lord lays low our enemies. He raises us upright. He says, imbue us with thy spirit, Lord, and encompass us with power. Encompass us with power. For the Lord is our defense. Jesu, defend us. This weekend, may we remember all of those who signed the Declaration of Independence, because that gave to us our physical liberty. But then let's look back at those through their obedience consecrated their lives and the nation to God's glory so that we can gather here in freedom. Even more importantly, may we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all was dedicated, who perfectly fulfilled the sovereign plan of God. Jesus, who died on the cross to provide for us that gift of eternal life and freedom from the bondage of sin. That same Jesus will soon come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And before him, all will bow the knee. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?
You're listening to the Pennsylvania Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Weekend. We'll be right back. The American Pastors Network now offers a weekly APN email update, including compelling stories about the impact that APN pastors are having on our country and its culture. With the latest news and upcoming events, you'll know how to connect with the APN and pursue your own mission of changing the culture through decisive action. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and subscribe to the weekly APN email update today. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. We'd love to keep in touch. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net now offers the largest collection of biblical worldview resources on issues like abortion, the battle for marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and so many other topics. The resource library is free and designed for pastors and other concerned Christians to understand the issues and apply biblical truth to the big issues facing our culture. Go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
In 2 Chronicles 6, 32 and 33, when King Solomon prayed, he identified the sixth of God's judgments on a nation. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. At PPN, we're urging pastors to warn their people that God's judgment occurs when we turn our back on Him. The sixth sign of judgment is the abuse of immigrants. From our nation's beginning, we've welcomed the stranger and encouraged people to share our religious freedom and God's blessings. We've welcomed people to know the God who is the source of light on this shining city on a hill. Today, immigrants are but players in a political chess game. Benefits are given as bribes for votes. Dependency on government is encouraged. Solomon perceived that government injustice to the stranger would tarnish the testimony of God, and instead of pointing people to God, the immigrant was pointed to some other God. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, asking you, have you ever considered that the abuse of the immigrant is a mark of God's judgment? He does.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Weekend. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Walk through the resource library there. You'll find the largest collection of biblical worldview resources on topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free, designed for pastors and Christians to easily find relevant, useful materials that connect issues to the biblical truth on a full range of cultural issues. Again, the website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now let's rejoin the broadcast for the conclusion of this week's American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Weekend.
Well, thank you for listening to today's Stand in the Gap Weekend program. This is Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, and I'll be joined again today by Dr. Gary Dull, Senior Pastor of the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania, and Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. Well, Brother Gary, in my sermon on this program, I mentioned that the Pilgrims and the Puritans, when they came to this country, saw the blessing of God on them as establishing a godly nation in those early days, and they paralleled it to His blessing on the nation of Israel. They believed that God's promises were to them in many respects as much as they were to Israel. In Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 9 talks about that. Now, there are some folks who today who believe that those promises to Israel back in those days are not applicable to us today at all. In some cases, they find fault with some of our founders who actually took and made a parallel in this case. But so I think it's appropriate if we could take a look at that a little bit today. What do you think about that? How applicable is it? Are those verses in the Old Testament? Were our founders right in actually trying to apply them to what became the United States of America?
Well, Sam, I think that first of all, we recognize that Israel was a very, very special nation, a covenant nation for God. No other nation on the face of the earth was like Israel. He brought them together for a purpose. And we don't have time to get into all of that purpose today, but neither is He finished with Israel. When you read through the Old Testament, and of course even in the book of Romans, you'll find that God has a great plan for the future yet for the nation of Israel. But as we look at the United States of America, there is no doubt in my mind, and I think that most Christians believe this, and that's the idea that God brought the United States of America together for a certain purpose. I've often said that he brought it together for two reasons. Number one, to send the gospel around the world. And he's done that through missionaries and pastors and others for all of these years. The second reason I think God brought this nation into existence was to stand for and support Israel as a nation. And, you know, by and large, we have been doing that. We need to understand the difference between interpretation and application when we look at the Word of God and passages in the Word of God. Certainly, there are certain promises given to Israel that were not given to the United States of America. Neither will they be given to the United States of America. But when you read passages of Scripture like Deuteronomy 28 and others, where it lays forth the blessings and the cursings, you find it's very, very clear that God has the desire to bless people, and, however, he will curse people. The blessings come to those who are obedient. The cursing comes to those who are disobedient. And as God has promised blessing to Israel, if indeed they obey him, then he will bring blessing upon the United States of America if indeed we obey him. And I fully believe that that was the thought that our founders had when they brought this nation together. But along that line, Brother Sam, you know, we are witnessing right now war breaking out in the Middle East with Israel at the very center of it once again. This has happened so many times in the past number of years. Here at the American Pastors Network, we are firmly in support of Israel and the Jewish people for many, many reasons. Can you add a few thoughts you might have in regard to Israel and our connection to them as a nation?
I can, Brother Gary, and I appreciate you asking that question because there, you know, we, as you said, and I believe and share that sense with you at all as well, that part of the reason God may have established the United States of America was, in fact, to be an aid, an assistant to, and actually we played a role in them becoming a nation, which obviously is something that that was very critical, and we believe that that's something that's moving along and fulfilling the prophetical direction that God has established, that Israel's back in the land. And I think the whole world right now is looking at them and wonder why in the world is that little bitty country over there becoming such a thorn in the flesh, it appears, for almost everybody. But we know, and part of our support for them is that they are God's people. The gospel came through the Jews. Jesus himself came of a Jewish family. He is born of the seed of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and David, out of David. I mean, we understand. So for Christians to be supportive of Jewish people is a natural thing, to support Israel, as we have been, as we've, most people in our country, and certainly at the Pastors Network, we understand that even as God told Abraham, those who bless you, I'll bless those who curse you, I curse. There is a very strong connection between, it seems, how God has worked with nations who have come alongside Israel or who have opposed them. Not always, maybe this is the case, but most cases, it appears that if a nation supports, or individuals support Israel, they most often have a favorable, or if not supportive, fear of God, the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ. If they oppose them, there's almost an opposition to the God of the Bible as well. So there's a connection there, but there is a connection. We have had a close connection, and we say that as God's people, Christians, we must be concerned about what's happening, be aware, and be praying for, not what's happening there, but praying for the peace of Jerusalem, which is commanded us in the New Testament. Now, Gary, we've got just a few minutes left as we wrap up today's program here, but I want to ask you just something further right now. The Bible's clear about the need to bless the nation of Israel if we are to hope for God's blessing. I just mentioned that briefly, but what implications do you see for our nation as our current national administration over the past some years has not been favorable to Israel, and in fact has strengthened the ties to really the avowed enemies of Israel who wish to wipe them off of map? Is that something that as a nation, as Christian people, we ought to be concerned about?
Oh, I believe so. I mean, I believe Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where we have the Abrahamic covenant, which is where God basically says that those who bless Israel, he will bless. Those who curse Israel, he will curse. And I think that the United States of America has been blessed of the Lord and consequently has blessed the whole world simply because of America's blessing upon the nation of Israel. If indeed we continue, and I'm using that word particularly that if we continue to turn our back upon Israel, because I don't believe that this current administration is supporting Israel to the degree that we should, if we continue in that lane, I think we're going to find God's judgment is going to be upon the United States of America. I believe that the people of this country must earnestly pray that the leaders of our country work to strengthen our relationships with and support of Israel in these current days in which we are living, as well as time goes on, simply because of the fact that if we do not, God will fulfill His word, and as a result of that, there will be cursing coming our way. The more we bless Israel, the more Israel will be blessed by us, and God will bless us too.
Well, thank you, Brother Gary. You've been listening to Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl from the American Pastors Network, and we trust that you've been blessed by this sermon and our discussion today regarding God's plan for the nation. Certainly, we may ask ourselves, do the signs of the times point towards Christ's imminent return? Are you ready? Should He come? That's the question. We at the American Pastors Network urge our pastors to preach clearly and apply the Scriptures in a practical way so that our people will know the Word of God and be encouraged to obey it. If you've enjoyed the Stand in the Gap weekend program, I encourage you to contact the station manager of the station on which you listen to this program and thank him for caring. And if you wish to partner with us, I encourage you to visit our website at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and leave us a comment or even a financial donation. Our ministry depends on the faithfulness of listeners like you. We ask you to please join us again next week at this time for another Stand in the Gap weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap weekend, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Our purpose is to establish a network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture, boldly preaching the whole counsel of God, applying a biblical worldview to public policy, and encouraging their congregations to speak and live truth wherever they are. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you. To learn more about how you can support the mission, visit online at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net or call area code 610-584-1225. Find out how and where you can stand in the gap for truth. The American Pastors Network is a ministry program affiliate of Capstone Legal Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit Christian public community foundation registered nationwide.